That's the Old Testament. We were having a little Bible lesson in Sunday school this morning. The book of Judges is in the Old Testament. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th book in the Old Testament. That ought to make it a good book, shouldn't it? It is. Amen. How many of you have read the book of Judges lately? A couple of you. That's good. Don't ask me what I mean by lately. The book of Judges. I want to share something that, I'm not going to say that. You know, sometimes I'm tempted to say what is going to happen. And then the Lord always does something different because I'm not checking out with Him ahead of time. So I'm not going to declare to you what He hasn't shown me yet. We're just going to share His Word. We're going to let Him go on and do just whatever He pleases to do. He is the head and the Lord over the church. Is that not right? And I'm just one of His children, and I'm just obeying what He wants to do tonight. So as the head of the church, He can just go on and do whatever He desires to do. I'm going to allow Him to do so, and please you do the same. All right? The book of Judges, the 6th chapter. I want to share something out of the story of the man of God, Gideon. There's much in this story about Gideon in the 6th and the 7th chapter, but there's one specific thing in here. We've been talking on Sunday nights lately about faith, about believing God, about how to believe God, how to receive from Him. Cut that down just a little bit, Jerry. It's a little strong. And how to receive the promises of God by faith. We've been talking about faith and what it is, that it's believing without seeing. And if you already have your answer, you don't need faith anymore. Faith is what you exercise and what you hold on to while you're believing what you cannot see. Once you can see it, then you don't need your faith anymore. You have the physical evidence. We've been talking about healing, scriptural healing, divine healing, God-given healing, and how to receive it by faith and why it belongs to everybody and how every child of God is entitled to it and can receive it. We've talked in recent services also about the faith walk. About why and how God wants us to walk in faith. I believe there's something in this story tonight about Gideon that will answer a question for you. And I've had several of you to privately discuss it with me. One of you is not here tonight that I wish was, but I guess God knows about that too. All right, if you remember the story of Gideon, Gideon was a man that lived in Israel at a time when Israel was not a powerful nation. Reading at the first verse of chapter 6, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites. And the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. All right, Gideon lived in a time then when his nation had been under constant attack and almost a permanent bondage by the Midianites for 7 years. And the scripture says that the Midianites and the Amalekites and all of the children of the east had an alliance of so many people that they were without number. You could not possibly number them. That's why they were held in this bondage, because they weren't strong enough to overcome it. A great number had come against them. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. All right, now if you read on into the balance of the 6th chapter, you see that an angel of the Lord appeared to a young man named Gideon. He was a son of Joash, and he was in a wine press grinding out wheat flour. And he had it was hidden so that the Midianites wouldn't find it, take it from him, so his family would have something to eat. The angel of God appeared to him and began to talk with him and told him that he would be the man that would cause Israel to be set free. Verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And in verse 16, the Lord said to him again, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now you remember the story of Gideon, how after he had heard that, how he had gathered around him as much of an army as he could, but how he wasn't sure yet whether God really had the ability to do that. Gideon put out a fleece and so on and received confirmation that God was really with him. What I want us to see tonight, though, is that what Gideon had to operate on was God's word. Gideon did not have anything going for him in the way of physical, natural strength. He had only God's word in the 14th and the 16th verse, which I read. All right, now go over to the 7th chapter, the first verse. Then Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, now that's his name, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. Gideon had gathered an army before him, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee, now listen to this, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. God said, you have too many men here, Gideon. Even though these Midianites are still a great multitude, which cannot even be numbered, their camels are like grasshoppers, and you can't even count them. There are so many. And even though your army is so small, God said, you have too many men with you. And if you go out there and I give the Midianites into your hand, then your people will all be puffed up and they will say, oh, it was by our own power and by our own strength that we've defeated the Midianites. Verse 3. Now therefore go to, God said, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. God told Gideon to tell his people, anybody who's afraid or fearful, you go on home. There returned of the people 20 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. So Gideon had an army of 32,000 men. God told him to invite those that were afraid to go on home. It was all right. 22,000 of them went home, 10,000 stayed. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. God said, take them down by the stream. Let them have an opportunity to get a quick drink of water, and then we're going into battle. And I'm going to show you how to separate them there. And as they came down to the stream, 9,700 of them fell down upon their face at the stream and put their face into the water and began to drink like a horse would or like a cow. But 300 men came up to the stream and grabbed a little bit of water out in their hands and put it up to their mouth and began to lap it like a dog. All right, now, don't ask me to explain why God chose those 300 over the 9,700. I'm sure there's a real good reason for it. It'd probably make a real interesting sermon, but I didn't ask the Lord about that. Consequently, he didn't bother to tell me about it, okay? Some of you probably see it already. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Gideon said, send the 9,700 home. And take these 300, and here's the word of God, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let everybody else go home. God's word again. Mark that. So the people took victuals in their hands. In other words, the 300 men took the supplies they needed, food and so on, and their trumpets. He sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. All right, here now is Gideon with 300 soldiers. He is coming against an army of innumerable company. He can't even count them. They are a host that has kept his nation in bondage for 7 years. His people haven't had enough to eat in 7 years, let alone know how to fight. And he's got 300 of them that lap water like dogs. in verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that is Gideon, arise and get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Verse 15, and so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Many of you will remember the story of how he sent 100 men with him, 100 men this way and 100 men that way. And he said, when you get there, when you see what I do, you do the same thing. As they came up to the camp shortly after midnight, Gideon blew the trumpet. All of his 100 men broke the clay pots that were over their candles, and all the lights were quickly shown there. And all of the 100 men over here and the 100 men over there did the same thing. And God came into the midst of the Midianites and discomfited them, and they thought they were surrounded by a tremendous army. And he spoiled them, and they rose up in the middle of the night and began to kill one another. And there was such confusion in the camp that they slaughtered one another, and those that were not slaughtered ran like scalded dogs. And Gideon and his people never did lift a sword that night. Now, there's something very interesting in that story. There's something very beautiful in the story, other than just the beautiful story of Gideon. And we talk about Gideon and his 300. And we talk about the power of God, you see, in natural and physical circumstances. But the Lord has shown me something this week about that passage of Scripture that has answered a question for me. And I believe that many of you, most of you, will be able to witness to this. When you were first filled with God's Holy Spirit, the anointing of God was so strong upon you that any time the Lord ever told you to do anything, you were perfectly willing to do it because your faith was so strong, you could do anything, couldn't you? His physical presence in your body, the quickening, the anointing of His Spirit that was in you, just quivered all over you, didn't it? You just knew that the presence of God was always there. You had the physical evidence of the presence of God. And if someone was sick, you were quick to walk up to them and, let me lay hands on you, sister, I'm gonna pray for you, God's going to heal you. You spoke words of faith. You declared the Word of God. You spoke the wonderful works of Jesus Christ and declared them to be available today without hesitation and without embarrassment, didn't you? Because the anointing of God, His physical presence, was so strong with you that it knocked down any doubt that would ever come against you. But as the months went by, the physical anointing of God's presence in your body began to diminish, didn't it? And every minute of every day, you were not physically aware of God's presence with you, were you? You understand what? How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And you began to wonder, am I losing it? And you'd go on and try to pray in tongues and make sure you still could. And you still could. No, I didn't lose it. It's still here. But I don't understand why the presence of God is not manifested real strong with me anymore. And you went on with that for a while, not really knowing. But since you did not have the physical presence of God and did not sense that anointing quivering in your body, what were you forced to do? You were forced to go to God's Word to stand on for your believing, weren't you? Rather than depending upon the physical anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How many do? Just shake your hand. Just shake your head like this. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. God, you see, is doing the same thing with you and with me that He did with Gideon. When the presence of God, when you are standing in a meeting like this, and God's presence is on you like this, I mean, you could do anything, couldn't you? You know the power of the Spirit is there, all right? You're not doing that by yourself. His quickening presence is in your flesh. His anointing is in your flesh. And you just feel that presence in you. Oh, my goodness, this is God. You know, anything He wants to do, He can sure do. Well, it's an aid to your faith. And you go on and believe God and just obey Him and do what He... And you just see wonderful things happen. But God wants us not to walk like little babies. Because when you have that physical anointing in your body, it's very much the same way as training wheels on a bicycle. See, the way that you teach your child to ride a bicycle is you put training wheels on it so that when they begin to go this way, there's something to catch them, you see, to straighten them back up. And when they begin to fall off this way, there's something there to catch them, to straighten them back up again. But as they learn to ride that bicycle, you lift those training wheels up a little bit, don't you? And if you never do lift the training wheels up, they'll never learn to ride the bicycle. Is that right? We will never learn to stand on God's word and to believe His word unless God raises up the training wheels. Some of you have said to me on occasion, many, many times, one after the other, gee, when I first was baptized in the Holy Ghost, God used me. He just used me many times to bring messages and tongues in the service. He used me to interpret the gift of interpretation. He used me with the gift of prophecy, but He doesn't seem to be wanting to use me very much anymore like that. Or when He comes upon me to prompt me, I'm not sure it's Him because the anointing's not there. Well, God wants you to know that as long as the anointing as long as the anointing is there, you really don't need faith, do you? Because you have the physical evidence of the presence of God. Remember what we've been saying? Faith is the evidence of what you cannot see. When you have the physical anointing in your body, you don't need your faith, do you? The evidence is your physical knowledge, is your physical experience. And you know God's presence is there, so you go on and obey God and do what He said for you to do. But when the Spirit of God begins to prompt you down in your spirit and say, daughter, I want you to prophesy. Son, I want you to bring a message in tongues. Daughter, I want you to go forward for prayer. Son, I want you to interpret this message which is about to come. And you don't have that physical sensation in your body, then you must operate on your faith. Now, what do you put your faith in? Do you put your faith in the physical sensation in your body, or do you put your faith in the Word of God? We sang the song here. Bless God for y'all choosing that song. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. You see, I'm only moved by the Word of God. We must, as God's children, come to that point where we will be moved only by God's Word, not by our feelings, not by what we see, nor by what we hear. Because our enemy, you see, can work as God works. Our enemy can also work in the realm of feelings. He can work in the realm of what you can see and what you can hear. And if you base your faith and what you believe on what you see, feel, and hear, you are setting yourself up for a bad fall, brother and sister. But if you will learn how to base your what you believe on God's Word will always bear you up. It will never, ever fail you. Now, sometimes, I try to share with you from time to time as the... I'm turning to the Gospel of John. Anybody want to turn there with me in chapter 14 of John's Gospel? I try to share with you what happens to me and what happens to me in my life and what the Lord teaches me about my own personal walk with Him and my ministry, because I believe God would have you to know those things so that you can see His working in your ministry and in your life. And I don't know how many folks who have just come into the walk in the Spirit who have wondered about this. I don't understand. Something must be wrong with me. You know, I'm praying a lot, and I'm singing a lot, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm giving my tithes, and, you know, I'm serving the Lord best I know how, but I just don't feel like I used to. And there must be something wrong, and the devil begin to tell you that you're sinning your life, and that begin to bring condemnation upon you, and there's something seriously wrong, and you better get rightened up with God because you don't feel His presence anymore. And God's taking His presence from you, okay? He'll take you back to some Old Testament scripture like the 51st Psalm where David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And the devil will tell you, see there, God will do that. See there, God will do that. See there, God will do that. You don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit anymore. How do you know He's still there? Maybe God took the Holy Spirit from you while you were sleeping. You didn't even know it. The devil talks like that. John the 14th chapter, the 16th verse. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you as long as you feel His presence. That He may abide with you as long as you're sitting in church. that he may abide with you as long as there's no sin in your life. That he will abide with you as long as you love everybody round about you. That he will abide with you as long as he decides it's proper and right. No. The promise of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God, is that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He does not come and go. He abides with you forever and for all time. Whether you feel it or not, the Word of God says that the Comforter indwells you forever. Gideon, you see, was a man that had an army of 32,000. He had the physical strength. Maybe it wasn't, he didn't have the numbers, but he had a physical army, a strong army, that he could come against the Midianites. But God said, send 22,000 home that are fearful, and he did. And then he said, send 97 home that drink water like a horse out of the river, and keep 300. Gideon had no physical evidence that God was even able to do what he said. He had nothing. Yes, he put a fleece out of it, he got some water out of it. And what does that have to say, you see? Gideon had the word of God. God said to Gideon, surely I have delivered the enemy unto you. And Gideon believed God. And he stepped forth with that faith in his word without any physical evidence. And God performed that which he spoke. Now the very same thing that happened to Gideon happens up here most every Sunday night. The very same thing happens right here on Sunday night. See? It's the same thing. God said to me, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I invite you to come to receive healing, not because I feel the presence of God. Not because he's standing here whispering to me, Vic, I'm going to do this tonight, I'm going to do that. Now, from time to time, he does share those things with me, but generally not. Not because I have some great revelation from God, but because his word says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And if I will believe, and if you will believe, healing will follow. And so we lay hands on the sick, regardless of how we feel. Regardless of how I feel, and regardless of how you feel. And what you receive from God is not dependent nor based upon what you feel. If you're going to base what you receive from God on how you feel, then you're not going to receive much of the promises of God. It'll just not be available to you. We must base what we're going to believe on God's word in the absence of any kind of physical sensation. And those of you, I know there are many, who are having that same experience. Some of you are just beginning to enter into that phase, kind of, I'd call it, like a phase, where the Spirit of God is, it's not that he's less real. His presence is less